My brother's girlfriend was adjusting the stem of a tiny microphone. She had a face that made your mind itch as it tried to pinpoint what felt off. There was definitely something threading under the luminous skin. Inky princess tresses, black eyes, and sharp, bird-like bones that jutted at her clavicle. She wore a birdcage veil with pearled netting at an angle that fell a smidge short of jaunty. Seeing it, seeing her, gave me a jolt, like missing a step on my way down a staircase. Even speaking at my brother's funeral, Maura needed to enrapture. Dane had brought his new girlfriend to meet the family over Easter brunch, 5 months ago now. Back then, the two of them had been dating only a few weeks. Maura complimented the plasterwork of my childhood home and that musical voice of hers. Uncharacteristically, Mom had nothing critical to say afterward. "She has polish," was all she provided. It was undeniable. Maura had dazzled both of my parents. I think on some level, they doubted Dane's ability to land a girl like her. As I sat in the pew, my fists fizzed with heat. We'd all doubted him. And now, here we were. How would things have turned out differently had we listened? It was a cruel game I often played during the long nights after his suicide, when I knew sleep was futile. What if we'd tried a little harder? Rachel told me I couldn't get swept away in what ifs. But really, who was she to tell me that? She wasn't the one fighting the riptide, feeling like the past was a puzzle. One that maybe, put together a different way, could have kept my little brother alive. Maura slid a piece of paper over the podium. Rachel put a hand on my knee as Maura started speaking. To my left, my mother's shoulders rounded under her cardigan. I noticed a tiny slack space between my dad's lips. It reminded me of the way he'd looked when he'd told me what had happened to Dane 2 weeks ago. Like he'd lost control of the bottom half of his face. It was the first time I'd seen his dad armor slip, and I hated it. The paper was, it turned out, an excerpt from Charlotte's Web. I had no idea why she'd chosen this. If we're talking animal books, Dane had much preferred Jumanji, leaning toward that edge of danger evident from the very first pages. Until his symptoms became evident a few months ago, he and I had been devastatingly close. I knew his taste in books. Maura read from the paper with the voice of a jewelry box ballerina. The quote she had chosen was from the spider's point of view. I dug my fingertips into my thighs. Every word drove another hairline crack through me. Fault lines multiplying and branching like veins. Then Maura flicked her eyes up at me. Saw me. It made me feel naked. My every thought exposed, and my throat closed in response. I surged to my feet and pushed past my family in the pew. Rachel found me doubled over in a restroom stall. I stared at the toes of her Mary Janes under the door, seeing stars. "Holly," she said. "Let me in." "No." "Come on, open up." I unlatched and cracked the door. Rachel handed me a cup of tepid water. I took it and wet my bristly tongue. "God, this is embarrassing," I said. "What are you talking about? This is your brother's funeral. You're allowed to be upset." She was right. Not to mention the fact that I'd been on the opposite side of the bathroom stall for Rachel more than a few times back at Emory in Atlanta. After graduation, though, the scripts flipped. Rachel met Henry when she stayed on at Emory for grad school, and all too soon she claimed that trifecta of adult accomplishments. A master's degree, an apartment, a fiancé. Thankfully, Henry's family hailed from Savannah, too, so I jumped at the chance to reclaim my college roommate. These days, Rachel was the singular grounding force in my life. But sometimes I missed the feeling of her leaning on me, the way she had back in college.